This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bill Dalton's on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, you certainly are. Glendon with you. Kyle joining me very soon. It's nice to have your company. 8 minutes past four on this, what has turned out to be a rather wintry Wednesday afternoon in Melbourne. People, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I do think that the weather is only going to get worse. Oh, well, we will have to just make do. Now, coming up on the show today, we've got a lot of fabulous guests. Coming up very soon, in the next half an hour or so, is David Hunt, who regular Joy listeners will know because you tolerate him as part of the Friday Drive team with Sue. And David's coming to talk about a Joy fundraiser and that he's part of, he and Sue are a part of, which is called Who's on the Menu. We're going to hear all about that. It's happening at the Eureka Hotel, and it's quite an interesting concept, so make sure you stick around for that one. There's also a production of Mary Poppins coming to Melbourne in a couple of weeks at the National Theatre in St Kilda, and Mary herself is going to be mincing her way in here a little bit later as well. So all of that and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. If you want to say hello at any time, please do 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Now, are you excited about Eurovision? Well, I certainly am. In fact, just this week, my friends and I were talking about how are we going to get together to watch Eurovision, particularly live on the Sunday. It's at something like 4 o'clock in the morning. So we're like, oh, do we just keep going all night, or do we actually go to bed early and set the alarms and then, you know, make pancakes and have champagne sensibly, of course. Well, we don't know what we're going to do, but what we do know is that Guy Sebastian is going to be flying the flag for Australia. I did see this week that he was wanting to have koalas and kangaroos on the stage with him, and the animal handlers said that was not a good idea, or just maybe they thought it was a really dumb idea, which is what I probably do. But anyway, this is his song. It's called Tonight Again. It is the official song for Eurovision. Oh, let us know what you think about it.
Oh, everyone's got their problems. There's always something on your mind. But tonight we ain't got a something. For now, let's leave them all behind.
Ooh, do what you want, do what you want. Do what you want, do what you want. Do what you want, do what you want. Oh, get on it, ooh, get on it.
Tonight's so good, this is one of us. night again.
The Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, great to have your company on your Wednesday afternoon, 13 minutes to 5. It is Glenn Dalton. Kyle is joining me very soon. He's stuck in a taxi on St Kilda Road, but I am joined by a man who's no stranger to the Joy listeners because he's on every Friday afternoon with Sue, David Hunt. Hello.
Hello.
My gosh, nice to have you here.
Yes, and it's nice to be here on a Wednesday afternoon.
Well,
it's...
exactly. Are we going to balance it out? Am I coming on Friday?
Absolutely. Anytime you want to.
Yeah, all right,
and anytime you've got something you want to push,
yeah,
you know, we're there. You're like, your other half is often on our show.
And not only yours, let's be honest.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, you're doing a pretty exciting, innovative event called Who's on the Menu.
Exactly, and it all stemmed from, I came up with this idea 15 years ago.
Now, this is long before there were any talk about cooking shows, where, of course, our screens now are flooded.
Full of them, yeah. And you know, like, and I couldn't get any of the production companies to look at it. It was only a written submission at that stage.
Mm.
And then about 5 or 6 years ago, I did a pilot for it, mm-hmm. and I used Andy and Adrian in the pilot.
Yeah.
And then, again, nothing happened. Everyone said, oh, they've got their own production companies and all that. And they're all working on cooking shows, which, you know, so many of them don't get up and whatever. And all of a sudden, I've been doing a bit of work with Bent TV, and I approached them, and they said, yay.
Okay, so tell us about the concept, because not only is it going to be on Bent TV, but people have the opportunity to go and see this live.
Absolutely, and it's it's filmed in front of a live audience, and it's called Who's on the Menu? A celebrity comes for dinner, and it's different celebrity each week. And
so each week you have a particular celebrity guest.
Yeah, and they perform. Mm-hmm. When they arrive, and then over dinner we interview them.
Yeah.
A dinner that we are shown how to cook it by a gourmet chef.
So does that happen while they're there, or is
No, it happens beforehand. So I should have gone back. So before they get there, we have a gourmet chef that comes and shows us how to cook two courses, and then the chef leaves, and we have to reproduce it without any recipes.
Oh my gosh.
All from memory.
So this is you and Sue, who you do Friday Drive with.
And the audience help us as well. Now, and during the night, the audience get the same meal that the chef showed us and that we're also going to cook for our celebrity, but the kitchen and the chef.
You're not making for
We're not making
people.
It for everyone. So everyone gets this fantastic gourmet meal and champagne on arrival and red carpet experience. And then... As I said, we have to reproduce the food. For the celebrity. The celebrity performs, then sits down. We interview them over the dinner.
Yeah.
Now, they might eat it or they might not. Mm. But Sue and myself are not bad cooks, but it's just the memory thing is, you know, like the really hard thing.
Well, that's exactly right, because I'm great at cooking if I've got a menu in front of me. But I can make something 20, 30 times and I still have to go back to the menu.
The recipe, it's called.
Well, yes, the recipe, though. That's right, the recipe. Even so much that, like, I'll think, okay, I'm going to make this, and I'll go to the supermarket and I'll buy all the things, and I'll get home and I'll look at the recipe and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to get one of the essential ingredients.
And something that you've cooked many times over and over. I'm exactly the same. So it's going to be interesting, you know, like what we remember, each remember. And as I said, we also want the audience to say, no, you've got to do this, you've got to do that.
So it's participatory as well.
Yeah. So therefore, it's going to be a fun night, lots of comedy, because imagine how many things are going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Sue and myself will be arguing the whole time.
Great.
And the really lovely thing is that we're actually doing it as a fundraiser for Joy and Bent TV.
Brilliant organisation.
Yeah, and you're getting this top class meal. Right. You're getting and you're going to learn how to cook these two courses.
You could even test yourself out and get home and try and make it for your family or something.
Well, true. Yeah. Because we actually give each person that comes along the recipes as well.
So they don't have to remember it.
They don't have to remember it. Yeah. No, they actually get the recipes.
So how do you think you're going to go at doing this?
I'm really nervous. Mm. And the interesting thing is that I'm producing it because it's been my baby.
Yeah.
And everyone says to me, oh, we'll show you the recipes. I said, you can't because it takes takes away from the whole magic. And I am going to struggle.
And it's not just like, you know, cooking steak and steaming a few vegetables. It's a gourmet meal, isn't
exactly.
it?
And all the tricks that a chef will do, where and you're often doing two things at once.
Yes.
And one's for the entree and one's for the main course.
Yes, I mean, I've watched those cooking shows. I see how it works.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But and you know, like, and everyone's rallied together, and it's great that Bent TV are going to be filming it, and we're doing three different weeks.
Yes.
A break of 2 weeks, so that because everyone's a volunteer, and then we're and then it's going to be shown on television down the track. But yeah, you know, we need a theme song. So I went to John from Paralox and said to him, how would you like to write a theme song for this TV show?
Well, Paralox, we play Paralox and stuff all the time.
And they're huge overseas, in Europe in particular. They're really big. So do you want to hear the theme song?
So this is a theme song to your TV show written by John from Paralox.
Yes.
All right. Have we played this on Joy before? You probably played it on your
we
show.
We did. Last Friday night we played it when John came in to talk about it.
Well, here it is. Press
David,
play.
Let me do something.
All right, do something.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Excuse me.
Oh my God, are you all right?
I just channeled a DJ. Oh, I feel so tired. That's the first time. I have enough.
I told you what we were doing.
I can do it on my own.
I am gay.
Well, fancy that.
Fancy.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yeah, you can ask lots of dumb questions because you do it every week.
Thank you.
Miracles aren't tacky.
They can be.
Maybe. Yeah, lick it.
I did it once and it tasted salty.
Who's on the menu?
Sidetracked a lot, don't we?
We do.
A bit like Jeffrey. He's been sidetracked for 4 years. No comment?
No comment.
Good.
A pink what?
A pink limo.
A pink limo.
With a limousine.
Yeah.
Let me do it slowly.
With a pineapple tied at the top. I don't get it.
Well, you have a pink limousine and you pop a pineapple on the top.
Why?
Because you can, David.
I think that's a bit weird.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, who's on the menu? David Hunt?
Yeah, there you go. Even got a theme song.
Yeah, well, how do people get involved? Because, as you say, they can go along, be part of it, and also it is a Joy fundraiser and for Bent TV as well.
Absolutely. We're filming, it's in 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks now.
Monday the 18th of May at 6:30.
That from 6:30, red carpet on arrival and champagne and yada yada.
Fabulous.
And then every second week from there.
Okay.
So it's the 1st of June and the 15th of June.
Yeah, but the first one is Monday the 18th of May. You've got a big special celebrity guest for that one.
Yep.
And how do people get more info?
Stickytickets.com.au.
Sticky tickets. Oh, brilliant. Well, I can't wait to see how it all goes on the night and then, of course, see the finished product on Bent TV.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of fun at the show. So please. Please book tickets. And we want it to be a success because people are going to make money out of it. Joy and Bent TV.
Exactly. Who's on the menu? Go to stickytickets.com. David Hunt, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
You are with the Royal Daltons, but it's Glenn and Kyle with you on your Wednesday afternoon.
Michael's measuring up in America.
Yeah, measuring up.
Next to Mickey Mouse.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But speaking of all things Disney and a bit Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Clock Theatre is about to start a very ambitious ambitious production of a much-loved musical, Mary Poppins. And, well, when we thought that we needed to get one of the cast of Mary Poppins in, we were not going to go for anyone other than the title lady herself. No. And we say a great big welcome to the Royal Dalton's Rosa McCarty. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Good afternoon.
Now, I should say thank you also to Joy FM because you've been incredibly supportive of Clock and of Mary Poppins so far. So huge thank you.
Well, rightfully so, because Clock do such amazing work. And even though it is ambitious to put a production of Mary Poppins on, it is, from the shows that I've seen that Clock have done in the past, it's a pretty high standard.
Yeah. If anyone can do it, Clock can do it.
Yeah.
Now, you get to play Mary.
I do.
And you've played a couple of title roles in your career, including Dusty.
Yes, that's
haven't
right.
you? Mm-hmm. All right, tell us about your approach to Mary. And first of all, I want to know, what was it like when you got the role?
Okay, can I answer the second question first?
Yes,
when
please.
I got the role, there was a giant whiskey that was poured. There were numerous phone calls, till about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
A lot of hooting and laughing and being pretty overwhelmed and
so
excited.
So you got into the role straight away, because Mary Poppins is known for drinking whiskey.
She's not, no.
No,
she does like a rum punch, though.
Yeah,
so.
Rum punch.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's her favourite.
So you were just, like, overwhelmed,
overwhelmed,
basically.
Yeah.
Elated,
sort
I imagine.
I guess my pedigree in musical theatre, if I can call it pedigree, is I tend to play damaged women.
Right.
So I've got one friend who calls me the angry belter.
So, like, who have you played?
Aldonza in Man of La Mancha.
Yeah, great role.
Dusty Springfield, not so damaged, but a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Aurora, Spider-Woman in Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Okay, don't know that one.
Ellen, Miss Saigon. Fontaine in Les Mis.
Well, yeah, she's
Rose Bebert in Aspects of Love. And Diana in Next to Normal.
Yeah. How do you go on with your life? These
yes, I know.
Step out of the character. Step out of the
you
character.
You have to, yeah.
Well, and you now are playing a woman who, you know, to quote from the show, is practically perfect.
Practically perfect. You know, superficially, I thought, my goodness, she's so different to all the characters I've played before. But when you immerse yourself in Mary Poppins and in P.L. Travers, you actually, I'm playing another strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
So in some ways it's different because you don't have that. I mean, there's gravitas in the show, but you don't have that.
Not the pain behind it.
The pain behind it. But in some ways it's really similar. And I identify with Mary Poppins so much. I really admire
her. In what ways? What?
Well, you know, I think of Mary Poppins is there's the magic there, which is symbolic of creativity and imagination. Mm-hmm. But at the time it was written, which was, the first book it was in, I think, 1934, her idea of the role of different individuals in society and also the way of educating children was far ahead of its time.
Yeah, right.
And so I identify with that. But also has so much empathy for the world around her. I think that comes through in the books. It definitely comes through in the musical that she's always thinking about what are her actions or what are, and she tries to educate the children, what are their actions and what are the consequences and how can you actually be a good person in the world?
Yeah.
And Mr. Banks also touches on that when, you know, he works in the bank and he's trying to weigh up, you know, do you give money to someone who just wants to invest the money to make more money or do you actually give money to people who are going to make a difference in other people's lives? And that goes through the whole show. And I love all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so there's real big kind of moral messages.
So many moral messages. And I think if you're going to do a piece, you actually have to really believe it and you have to think there's a purpose to it.
Yeah, but it's also a bloody good load of fun, isn't it?
It really is. So you get that whole, it's fun, but there's messages in it. It doesn't lecture the audience on how to behave, but I'm hoping that people will feel joy, they'll feel moved, and they might think about their lives slightly differently as well.
So let's talk about some of the songs in the show, because I think we've all got our favourites. What have you got a favourite?
Well, Supercalifragilicxpialidocious.
Yes, try spelling
nearly
it
got
backwards.
There, yeah.
So.
Yeah, you probably you can
you
spell
have
it backwards.
I do
now,
have
right?
to.
Yeah,
don't ask me to do it now. I'm sure I'll bumble.
All right, yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely one. I also like A Spoonful of Sugar.
Yep.
I do too.
Yeah. What else do you like, Rosa?
I do like Feed the Birds.
Oh, can I tell you a story about that? So I took my mum to see it when it was here.
Yeah.
And in fact, what sort of happened was my cousin, who, God love him, is like a football-loving bogan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, love him. But we are so different. Anyway, he said to me, should we take our mums to see Mary Poppins? He has two kids. I'm like, he's like, you know, they'll love it, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, great. And so we went all along there, and my mum's like looking through the program, and she said, Deborah Byrne's in it. And I said, yeah, she plays the bird lady.
Yeah.
And I said to mum, oh, do you know how much she's getting paid for that role? And my cousin goes, tuppence. I know.
The
football, yeah, which is what I was going to say, but he stole my joke. But anyway, I'm a musical theatre tragic.
Maybe you're not different after all.
Maybe we're not. Well, that's how we bonded, over a tuppence joke.
That's what's so amazing about it is all these people who you think would have no idea, well, don't have much familiarity with musical theatre at all, they know Mary Poppins and they know all the songs from it.
Yeah.
I find it astonishing. Yep. And these are people that, would not be fans of musical theatre at all, but they've grown up with it. It's
Well, as a kid, it's one of those movies that you just watch.
Yes.
You've just watched
it. Yes. Well, I didn't.
Oh, really?
No. I call it, I had a de-Disney-fied
childhood.
Right.
Yeah, well, we have stuff in common and we'll come back to it because I know I really want to ask about the techniques of the show.
Okay. Yep.
And also, Mary Poppins is one of those stories that's kind of lately sprouted into other stories, like Saving Mr. Banks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Things like that.
Stick around, Rosa. We're talking all things Mary Poppins. You're with the Royal Daltons on Joy. Thank you. Glenn and Kyle with you on your Wednesday afternoon. We're joined by Rosa McCarty, who's about to become fly through the National Theatre in St Kilda as Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Hopefully not through it, literally.
No.
Across would be good.
Yeah,
because it's a technically pretty challenging show, isn't
it? Yeah,
for all of those kind of things.
Yeah, it's you'd be amazed at the amount of time and effort and contribution from so many people.
Yeah,
behind the scenes in getting a show like this off the ground.
So do you have to act like a bit of a magician with particularly, you know, pulling a hat stand out of a bag and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, there's magic and there's tricks and there's flying.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many times do you fly?
Multiple.
Wow.
Yes, oh, I love
want
it.
That.
You want to be able to fly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if it's on stage with a hoist, I just want to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's I'm really excited
are
about that.
Are you scared of heights at all?
No, as far
fine.
As I'm aware.
All right.
Not yet.
We'll see you opening night, I guess.
And I'll have practice before then.
Good.
So,
yeah. Oh, brilliant.
And we mentioned before that it's turned into a show that has sprouted out into other stories. So Saving Mr. Banks, for example, which is a story that it's the serious side story to a classic that's gone on. But it's amazing that 40 years later, 60 years later or something like that since the movie, that it's sprouting another
movie. Yeah, and I think that's because the themes are so universal.
Mm.
It doesn't change.
Yeah.
One of the most important themes is that the emphasis on the role of individuals in society, and although in that era women had a different role, I think the influence of societal pressure and pursuit of what's perceived to be success is still present even in current times, especially so. And I think, so that's universal, but there's also those themes of childhood and growing up and responsibility and that they're all the way through it. And that hasn't changed since,
then.
History.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I certainly can't wait for it. It's all happening at the National Theatre. It opens on May 15. But I tell you what, you're going to have to be quick because it's selling out very quickly. Quickly, hello to Pete, who says, it's great to hear Rosa on Joy. See you opening night as my partner Jay is also in the show.
Woot. Ah, fantastic.
Woot, woot. Now, if people want more info, they can go to clock.org.au. That's CLOC.org.au. Mary Poppins, the National Theatre. In St Kilda, May 15 to 30. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Good
Thank
luck,
you
chookers.
Very much.
Yeah, chookers.
I got something exciting to tell you.
Tell me.
I went to the opera this week.
Did you?
Yes.
So did I. In fact, we went together, didn't we?
We did go together.
Yeah.
I have had a couple of days to reflect on it.
Mm.
And I'm still not sure what I think.
All right. Well, coming up after 6 o'clock, we're going to be chatting to one of the stars of the opera.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get your opinions in before then.
Yeah. No, but look, I think I need to go again.
Yeah. All right. I've got tickets on Monday. Do you want to come? Can I tell you that the guy that's coming in for the opera, the publicist said he's really cute.
Oh.
And I said, is he single? And the publicist said, please find out.
Love opera. I love it. Give it me more.
Exactly. But coming up after this next song, we're going to be chatting to JD Ness, who's directing a play called Breed at the Owl and Cat Theatre. It has got so many interesting themes in it, and we're going to hear all about it right after this. You certainly are with the Royal Daltons, Glenn and Kyle, with you on your Wednesday afternoon. But we are joined in the studio right now by a man who's directing a play called Breed. It's at the Owl and Cat Theatre. We need to hear all about it. JD Ness, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
Gosh, now Breed. Oh, tell us all about it, because Kyle and I don't know a whole lot about breeders.
Mm.
It's a foreign subject. It's a foreign subject, fair enough. Breed's a controversial show, I guess, good way of putting it, and that's something that the Owl & Cat is very proud to focus on with their new season. So it's all about
controversial
dogfighting.
Yeah, okay, dogfighting. Yeah. I know there's some domestic violence in it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, dogfighting is the key, but it's all about that family and what they're exposed to. And, of course, you know, there's going to be members of that family that aren't exactly okay with that sort of situation and not being involved with it and trying to get out of that situation.
So the storyline is such that it sort of revolves around a girl who's born into a family where they're involved in dogfighting, is that right? And she's kind of not okay with it.
Yeah, spot on. So, I mean, there's a little bit more to it. There's a bit of a backstory, I guess, where, you know, she's daddy's girl and unfortunately daddy's removed from the picture for a little bit of time and things worsen at home for her, so it's all about the situation of how do I get out, and there's a few other spanners that get thrown into the works as well.
Okay, it sort of sounds like kind of a fascinatingly interesting thing, but it's a script that has never been done in Australia before, yeah?
That's right. It is the Australian premiere, and for that matter, it's only ever been done once in the UK, so we're quite lucky to have such a beautiful piece of work here.
It's an incredibly original idea or plot of a story, and you were mentioning just off air before that the recruitment before.
Well, yeah, the recruiter.
We can call her the recruiter.
the people at the Owl & Cat Theatre.
Yeah, and the writer who wrote Breed is known for stories like that and willing to take on a story like that.
Yeah, look, Lou Ramsden's writing is nothing short of fascinating. She has a way in making every character come to life, and I mean you can go to see the main story, which is the crust of it, which is Liv. But everyone in the script has a story themselves, and I think that's really important to sort of highlight in a show like this.
Mm. And a good venue as well. We mentioned the Owl and the Cat. It's recently been new managers, new revamped and everything like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it's a great little venue to have a show like that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful venue. We can kind of trap our audience, I guess. No, it's very nice. It's small. It's intimate. I like theatres like that because I guess you can really involve the audience without breaking that fourth wall, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a director, when you're putting on something like this or you're putting this together, what are the big kind of challenges for a kind of complex sort of script like this? It's not all tap dancing and rainbows. It's a pretty strong message.
Yeah, it is. It's all about how to get bums on seats.
Yeah.
Particularly,
it's not necessarily a happy story.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, everyone's going to take away something different from it, and that's what I aim to get out of it for both the actors and the audience. But, yeah, I guess if you try and make it less in your face, but more that we've got a story to tell and maybe open up a few more doors to people.
Yeah, so is it kind of like about being subtle in what you're saying?
Yeah, look, I probably wouldn't say subtle. I mean, there's elements in there where you can be a bit abrupt. But I think it's just about, it's a story, and every story has, you know, two sides to it, and I think it's important to show both of them.
Mm. And from the show and adapting it to an audience here in Melbourne, and when it's only been done in the UK before, is it a bit of a free ride that you can sort of change what you need to change or, and be creative on it?
Oh, look, I wish. Yeah. No, look, Lou's writing is written the way it is, and she does some fantastic work, and you wouldn't want to change it. If you changed it, you'd completely destroy the dynamics that it does have. So I've been quite adamant to keep it the way that she's written it.
So
what kind of stands out for me is sort of complex and quite deep. Would they be kind of words that you would use to describe it?
Oh, for sure.
And that's challenging, I imagine, for you as a director, but also for an audience to, but also really enjoyable.
Yeah, look, it is enjoyable. I love a challenge. Everyone knows that. And, there's all about that problem solving and finding ways, new ways to obviously show an audience a topic that they're otherwise opposed to.
Absolutely.
Well, it's all happening at the Owl and Cat Theatre. It opens on May the 19th and runs through to the 30th. If people want more info, they can go to the Owl and Cat's website, which is owlandcat.com.au. Of course, it used to be known as the Owl and the Pussycat. But the pussy's grown up.
Pussy's gone.
Pussy's gone.
Pussy's gone.
Been replaced with dog fighting.
Yeah, exactly. So it is. That's true. Yeah, yes. Dog fighting at the Owl and Cat Theatre.
Yep, that's deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look how deep we're getting.
It's got all of Noah's Ark there, pretty much.
And you can get tickets at trybooking.com.
Yeah, thanks very much, JD.
No worries, pleasure. Thank you.
We've got Adrian coming in soon, all about opera, but we went to the opera on Monday night.
We did indeed. Went and saw Madama Butterfly.
Yeah, what an incredibly impressive show.
Indeed. If you want to see a photo of Kyle and I on the red carpet, go to the Royal Dalton's Facebook page because there's a photo there.
Did you post that picture?
Oh, it's a nice photo. You don't. I mean, you never like a photo of yourself.
I
don't either, if you know. But
there's a couple that I like.
All right.
They're on my apps.
Yeah, that's right, of course.
I've never been to the opera before. So
me either.
Musical theatre, love it, and love the Arts Centre.
Yeah, definitely.
They could put anything on and I'd go and see it.
I've seen loads of stuff like you have, but yeah, same, had never been to the opera.
I found it really amazing. So I didn't quite read what I was meant to be doing or wearing, and it was proper opening night with a full suit, and I had a last minute wardrobe malfunction.
Didn't have an iron.
Didn't feel judged.
Because you're homeless.
Because I've just literally moved in. This shirt's ironed.
Yeah.
And then went in. What I really liked about it was walking in going, this is exactly what I expected the opera to be. It was at the State Theatre. It was Royal. It's red. It's everyone's in a tuxedo.
Pretty cool. Yeah,
I love that they give you a little, like a little pamphlet with some conversation starters and how you should behave at the opera.
Yeah, so if you really liked it, you've got to stamp your feet. That kind of thing.
I really loved that idea because going to the opera, it's quite a traditional thing, right? People have been doing it for a trillion years. Maybe not that long, but a trillion years. That I would go and just go.
Well, it means that you feel comfortable with it because you're like, I know what to do when I go to the opera.
My favourite part of the whole night was at the very end, and it was amazing.
<Isn't that> weird?
Was at the very end of the whole opera.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that sort of sat behind us, maybe three or four rows.
Yes.
Bravo! Oh, my God. Bravissimo!
He, like, and granted, that was justified. Like, it completely was justified.
Incredible. And Opera Australia putting on a show like that.
It was incredible.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible. And you might think, well, you know, I don't speak Italian. I'm not going to understand it. You don't need to. Because, I mean, they do have the words on top of the stage. But at the same time, you just enjoy the most amazing music.
And I think without even understanding or watching the subtitles to understand what they're saying, you knew.
Yeah.
Because the acting was so brilliant. But I think I really did quite enjoy it.
Yeah, it was great.
And I think if you get a chance to go and see an opera like that, the girl, and I can't remember her name off the top of my head, who was playing Cho Cho San, she's internationally renowned.
She's absolutely fabulous.
Really, really cool.
Incredible. But we are going to be chatting to, not from Madama Butterfly, but from Don Carlos. Adrian Tamburini is coming up right after this next song because, he's about to star in this production, which is opening at the Arts Centre in a couple of weeks. Anthemic is probably one word that would describe some of the music that we find in operas. And this next man is about to be a part of the cast of Don Carlos, which is all part of the Opera Australia's latest season. Adrian Tamburini, welcome to the Royal Daltons.
Thank you very much.
Now, tell us about Don Carlos.
Oh, Don Carlos is a 19th century grand Italian opera set during the Spanish Inquisition. So, Philip, around King Philip II, and basically about a love triangle and the politics around that time.
And how? What's your background? How do you get to be in Melbourne as part of this production?
Luckily, I'm born and bred in Melbourne, although I live in Sydney now. I started singing kind of as soon as I started school.
Yeah.
Went through school choir and local choir and church choir. And then all of a sudden, I started having singing lessons, and my singing teacher said, I think you might be suited to opera. You want to give it a go? And I said, yes.
And what were you originally planning to sing? How would you, did you find what you would?
Look, I can't pretend that there isn't a show queen inside of me.
Oh, there's a show queen inside of all of us, isn't there? God.
So, but my voice just kept on going south and south and south, and I just was a bass, and there's no such thing as a bass in music theatre, really. So. Yeah.
And so do you need to be able to be fluent in Italian?
It really helps to understand what you're singing in whatever language it is. Mm. So thankfully, I'm born of Italian parents, so I'm a native Italian speaker. But in the last 20 years, I have gotten spatterings of French and German. I can make the right Russian noises, although I have absolutely no idea what I'm singing about. But yeah.
And where has this taken you? Like,
where has this taken me?
Yeah.
So I've sung in Europe. I have sung in Great Britain, in the UK, around this country.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm really lucky that I did 2 years touring around regional Australia, which was really easily the highlight of my career, bringing opera to remote areas throughout Australia. That was, easily the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah. And what's the audition process for an opera? Is it... I don't know how big the fraternity of and sorority of opera singers there are and sopranos. Is it a bit of a smaller community than you look at the wider musical theatre?
So the jobs are few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess there are less operas produced as well, aren't there?
That is correct.
And there's no amateur opera company. Well, there, I guess there are, but not a whole lot.
Actually, you know, Melbourne probably has the highest number of semi-professional opera companies in the country.
Yeah, cool.
And they're all really fabulous. I actually cut my teeth, got most of my experience doing pro-am stuff here in Melbourne.
Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and that's... I think that's a really good way of seeing whether you're suited to the industry.
Mm.
It's not just about being able to sing, you know. You can go to music school and learn, or you can have singing lessons and learn how to be a singer or how to sing, but to be able to then apply that in situ into an opera is a very, very... requires a very special talent.
Yeah.
Not everyone has that.
No. Well, you're blessed.
Mm. I am blessed.
Stick around. We need to hear a little bit more about... We are chatting to Adrian Tamburini, who's all part of Don Carlos. Now, you open in just a couple of weeks, yeah?
Exactly right, in a couple of weeks. So we're busy rehearsing every day now.
And so when it's at the State Theatre,
yep,
at the Arts Centre, are you sharing the spaces? It must be bump in, bump out, and you're in one after the other.
That's exactly right.
It's been overcome by operas, hasn't it?
Yes.
Overtaken by operas, hasn't it?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time to be in Melbourne.
Well, we're the only... obviously, we're the only company who uses the State Theatre. And if anyone knows the State Theatre stage, it's
huge.
Yes, it's huge. So... there's an entire other stage behind the stage and enormous wing space. So when, for example, when Madame Butterfly finishes, the mechs dismantle the entire set, push it out the back, and then Don Carlo or Don Giovanni gets built onto that space.
Right, brilliant.
And there's a really interesting fact about the Arts Centre that they've got a whole rehearsal space for the State Theatre stage that's the same size and space that they can flick it around. And literally, like what you're saying, there's a whole stage sitting behind it. You can rehearse on that.
We can rehearse on
built.
That. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah, amazing.
Fantastic. Now, this opera is written by Verdi. How would you describe the music?
Incredibly nationalistic.
Right.
And,
so almost anthemic.
I was just going to say, he wrote he wrote the Italian equivalent of Australia's Waltzing Matilda.
Right.
So in the opera Nabucco, which he wrote similar time to Don Carlo. The Italians really wanted the chorus from Nabucco as the Italian anthem.
Oh.
And they picketed and they rallied for it, and they decided to rewrite an entire new anthem. But not dissimilar, really, in Australia to how people feel about Waltzing Matilda.
Yeah, yeah, fabulous.
And the cast of this show is huge.
It is enormous. It's a cast 200. Of thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's including the I can't believe the orchestra the other night as well was so fantastic.
Yeah, it's probably another 25% of players in the pit for Don Carlo, including an orchestra backstage.
Seriously? Wow. So all up there would be... many, many hundreds of people part of this show because you've got 200 people on stage, 100 people in the orchestra.
100 people, 100 50 mechs backstage.
Right. See?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, Don Carlos opens at the Arts Centre on May the 20th. But also, you can check out Madama Butterfly, which is playing right now. Don Giovanni opens next week. It's all opera in Melbourne at the moment. Yep. It's absolutely fabulous. So you can go to opera.org.au for all of your information. Adrian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for the invitation.
A bit of firework to take us out for the night.
What much fun? How much fun?
Thank you so much for being here today, Kyle.
Thanks for having me. Look, I've had a lot of fun, and I got the itch the other night.
Well, you need to come back again very soon.
Scratch it.
Yep. Big thank you to Gary Wilson on the news. Thanks to Andy on the front desk. Stick around for the sports bag with Dougal coming up right after the news.
All of our guests, and you can check out podcasts at joy.org.au as well.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Joy News, sponsored by Yellow.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.